In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Very good morning to you all. Welcome to Jersey Baptist this morning. I'm Jeremy, I'm on the team here, and we're going to be looking at this passage in John chapter 1 as we continue in our series for Christmas of Light of the World. And if you're paying attention, you will notice that we're going to be addressing one of the boxes scattered around me this morning, so keep an eye out to see where we're going. But before we do that, let's commit our time to the Lord in prayer as we open his word. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at your word together, you would open the eyes of our hearts, that we might see Jesus, that we might behold who he is. And Father, we pray that you would change us through that experience. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine a world without light. Actually, I want you to do something for me to help imagine that. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody, please close your eyes. And please close your eyes, but don't nod off. I will tell you when it is time to reopen them. Now just imagine this was your lived experience. For every moment of every day, this is what life would be like for us if there was no light. We would not be able to see a thing. My guess is that most of us take light for granted. It's only when we take it away that we realize how important it is. Okay, now open your eyes. Let the light flood in. Do you feel the difference? Light makes all the difference. And yet we so easily take it for granted. And this morning, as we come to John chapter 1, we're going to be thinking about light. But it is light of a very different kind. And yet at the same time, it is a light that we can take for granted. And this light will make all the difference, even more so than the light that enables us to see. So with the lights on and our eyes very much open, let's turn to John chapter 1. If you're able to, please do get a Bible or get it up on your phone in front of you as we look at it together. And we're going to look at this passage by addressing three questions. Who is the light? How should we respond to the light? And what difference does the light make? Who is the light? Jesus is the true light who gives life. How should we respond to the light? Jesus, the true light who is to be believed. And what difference does the light make? Jesus, the true light who makes us children of God. So that's where we're going this morning. Let's take a look at the first question. Who is the light? Jesus, the true light who gives life. As John begins his gospel account of Jesus, he goes back to the beginning. And the beginning is not the first Christmas. That is not the beginning of Jesus' story. Because you see, Christmas isn't a celebration of the creation of Jesus. but of his incarnation, him being born into the world. So John really does go back to the very beginning. Look what it says in verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There are certain things that John wants us to know about Jesus right from the very start, and it's really quite the list. Jesus is the Word. Now, we could probably spend all morning talking about what it means for Jesus to be the Word. But the key thing is that Jesus is God's message to us. Jesus is the perfect representation of God to us. In Colossians 1, it says this: He is the image of the invisible God. And this is massive because it means that if we want to know what God is like, if we want to know who God is, we need to look no further than Jesus. In Jesus, we can know God. And he was with God in the beginning. That's the second thing that John draws our attention to. And the Word was with God. In this, we see that there is a difference between Jesus and God, which probably is to be understood as God the Father in this context. But just before you start going, well, hang on, Jeremy, what are you talking about? Let's not drive a wedge between Jesus and the Father. Look at what the third thing is that John draws our attention to. The Word was God. Jesus, as the second person of the Trinity, is fully God, which does mean that the boy who was born on Christmas Day was fully God and fully human. You see, Jesus isn't God's message to humanity as some disconnected sense. He is the perfect image of God because he is God. You see, he's not a shadow or a reflection. He's not someone acting on behalf of God. He is God. And to know Jesus is to know God. And he was there from the very beginning, eternally God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. But what was he doing in the beginning? Look down at what it says in verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was making all things, and that word making means bringing into being. Jesus was making all things out of nothing. No thing came into being without Jesus doing it. See, in the very first chapter of the very first book in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, we read this phrase repeatedly. And God said, and God said, and God said. So for example, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we read this. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. See the word, the use of the word, Jesus, active in creation. All things were made through the word. Through Jesus. Every single thing that we see today is made up out of things that Jesus brought into existence. Everything we make, and we make some pretty impressive things, don't we? Every single thing is really just a rearrangement of things that Jesus created. But Jesus didn't just create the elements and the building blocks, he created life itself. Look down at what it says in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is the source of all life. Every living being owes its existence to Jesus. And that includes each and every one of us here this morning. You and I are here today because Jesus has given us the physical lives that we have. And in these verses, we see who Jesus is and what he has done in creation in giving physical life. But you see, there's more to life than the air we breathe. There's more to life than the things that we can see and touch and taste and hear and smell. There's more to life than our existence here on earth, which is where verse 4 sets us off in that direction by talking about Jesus and his life in this way. The life was the light of men. Men here is speaking about mankind, all people, all of humanity. His life was the light of humanity. Jesus' life-giving life brings light. But why light? Why do we need light? Look at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, light is only needed when there is darkness, and Jesus shines into the darkness. It is speaking of spiritual darkness, life lived rejecting Jesus and rebelling against God. This might be an active rebellion where we shake our fist at God and say, I'll do it my way. Or it might just be passively sitting back and going, I don't really think about God. I just live my life my own way. I do my own thing. Either way, we are by nature rebelling against God. And this rebellion is what the Bible calls sin. And sin separates us from God and every blessing of His. It leaves us in the dark. And this darkness is the starting point for all of us. And it is into this darkness that Jesus' life shines a light. It is into this darkness that Jesus offers spiritual life. You see, in the same way that a light, the light of a torch, overcomes darkness, Jesus' light overcomes the darkness. Look down again at the end of verse 5. The darkness has not overcome it. Now, this word overcome, well, it can be understood in two ways. But you know what? There's no need to decide which one, because both meanings are equally true. You see, the first understanding of darkness is that darkness could not defeat the light, couldn't beat it. Darkness couldn't win. So the sinful acts of those who crucified Jesus, they didn't win because Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose to life. Jesus, the light, is victorious. He conquered darkness. He conquered sin and death forever. But the second understanding of darkness is that to not understand, to not comprehend. We see that picked up in verse 10, which we'll get to in a little bit. So darkness, human sinfulness, could neither defeat the light, nor could it understand the light. Jesus, the true light who gives life. Now, this imagery of life is really helpful because of the role light plays in our physical world. We've already tried out life with no light, but light plays a crucial role in sustaining life on the planet we call Earth. For plants to grow, they need light. Without light, there'd be no food. Light is essential to our physical existence. And in much the same way, Jesus, the true light who gives life, is essential to our spiritual existence, essential to our spiritual life. At this point, we really must just sit back and marvel at who Jesus is. Let it sink in. Maybe take some time this afternoon to reread those verses and just ponder who Jesus is. And as the Christmas festivities ramp up and we have lots of fun and excitement, let's keep our minds on Jesus, the one who makes it all possible in the first place. Let's remember who we are celebrating. You see, just like light, we must not take Jesus for granted. Let's remember who He is. Because when we see who Jesus is, it will change us. Jesus, the true light who gives life. Which moves us to the second question. How should we respond to the light? Well, we need to believe. Jesus, the true light who is to be believed. As we come to this next section, John turns our attention to John the Baptist. We might ask ourselves, why does he do that? He's just painted this truly awesome picture of Jesus. Why turn back to John? Well, let's take a look, reading from verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You see, God sent John to do a job. He was a prophet. He was to speak on God's behalf. He was not God. His job was to bear witness to the light. He came to point people to the light, to point people to Jesus. You see, because when Jesus came to earth, He didn't actually have a halo, contrary to many of the Christmas cards you might receive this year. You see, Jesus looked just like everyone around him. It was his character, his teaching, his life that brings light to the darkness, and ultimately his death and resurrection, which secured that life for eternity. And John's job was to point people to Jesus. You see, when Jesus came to John to get baptized, John immediately said, "Look to him. Don't look at me. Look at him." But it was more than just looking. You see, nestled in the middle of these verses is the purpose of John's ministry. It's at the end of verse 7, which says this, "that all might believe through him." You see, John's proclamation that Jesus was the light would have led others to believe that Jesus was, in fact, the light. And even today, if we look through the scriptures and we go through the Old Testament, we see pointers forward to someone who would testify to the light, someone who would point forward to Jesus. So when we see this here in John's gospel, we can be sure that Jesus really is the promised light. It gives us assurance about who Jesus is, because it all fits together. Everything about John and his ministry points us to Jesus. So the call, therefore, to us is the same. We must believe John's witness. Believe that Jesus is the true light. Jesus, the true light that is to be believed. Now, just imagine with me for a moment that someone has invited you to a Christmas party, and they've said, well, it's at a place. They give you the name of the place. They tell you where it's going to be. And they say it's not a place you're familiar with, and they say it's just off the high street in St. Helier. So on the night of the party, you're all dressed up and you're ready to go, and you think, oh, it won't be that hard to find. I won't ask anyone for directions. I mean, who asks for directions anyway these days? And then after walking up and down the high street for a little while, not finding it, you reach for your phone, and you've got no credit, have you? Or if it's me, the battery's probably run out. So you begin to wonder, how are you ever going to find the place? And then you see someone who's handing out some flyers, and you notice on the flyers is the name of the venue where the party's at. You're so excited, you almost run over to them. What do you do next? My guess is you're going to ask him, how do I get there? It'd be really odd if instead of doing that, you sort of went, oh, what's it like? You know, this party I'm going to, what's it like? Oh, that sounds amazing. It's fantastic. And you talk and talk and talk. And then, you know, it'd be very odd if after a long while you just decide, you know what, that's good enough. I found out where it is. That's good enough. I'm just going to stay at the place where they're telling me about how good it's going to be. That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Because, of course, when you know where the party is, we'll head straight there. Well, in the same way, John the Baptist came to point us to Jesus. So it would be ridiculous for us to look at John the Baptist and say, isn't he amazing? Without turning our attention to the one he's pointing to Jesus. Now, Jesus isn't a party or a venue, but he's a person who must be believed in. John's goal was that we would believe in Jesus. You see, in the same way that we would run to the party, we are to run to Jesus in faith by believing in him, Jesus, the true light who gives life. Now, if you've been listening closely at this point, you might be saying, okay, I hear what you're saying. Jesus is hugely impressive. He gives life. And you're saying I must believe in him, but what difference will that really make to me? What difference will it make if I believe? Which leads us to the final question. What difference does the light make? Jesus, the true light, makes us children of God. Look down with me, starting at verse 9, where it says this. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is speaking about the first Christmas right here. Jesus, the true light, coming into the world. True, real, genuine. In a world of shifting shadows of illusions and deceptions, a world of lies and cheating and fake news, Jesus is true. He is the real deal, the true light. You see, many things in this world will offer us and promise us light. They promise to bring hope in the darkness. And though they might give us some temporary relief, they ultimately fail to deliver. Their brightness fades, and they are shown to be a pale alternative to the true light that is found in Jesus. Into the depth of darkness, despair, depression, Jesus, the true light, brings light hope, and joy. He has come to enlighten, to bring light to everyone. But not everyone wanted the light. In part, it's because some of them didn't see him for who he truly was. Look what it says in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. The Creator came into his own creation, and they did not recognize him, despite all the evidence. Take some time this Christmas to read the Gospel of John, and you will see over and over again Jesus saying and doing things that give overwhelming evidence for the claims he made about himself, that he was in fact God, as verse 1 says. Yet the world did not recognize him, nor did it take him to heart. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Those who he had created, who he had given life to, they did not accept him. It's an outrage, isn't it? But before we get on our moral high horse, there is little evidence to suggest we would have treated him any differently. Just look around at our society today and ask yourself, do you think that if Jesus was here physically on earth, people would be flocking to him, running to him to believe in him? Many people, I doubt, would be doing so. Okay, back in verse 10, it says, his own people did not receive him. They did not take him to heart. It's receive them in their heart. That to me feels like a bit of an understatement, if I'm being honest. Because when we think about it, Jesus was rejected by the Jews, were those people who were the people of his own nationality, the people who were most likely to accept him. But then he was executed by the Romans. He was put to death at the hands of the Roman authorities. And let's be honest, killing someone is surely the very opposite of taking someone to heart. Jesus was rejected by Jews and Gentiles alike. In a broad brushstroke, Jesus was rejected by all of humanity. Despite all the evidence that Jesus was the light, the world chose darkness. That feels pretty grim, pretty dark, and not really the Christmas cheer we're hoping for. But here comes the good news. Look down at verse 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There were those who did receive him, who did take him to heart. How did they take him to heart? By believing in him. And now for the difference that believing in Jesus makes. He gave them the right to become children of God. If we believe in Jesus, we become the children of God. Just take a moment to let that sink in. Think back to the opening verse and how big God is. Think about how small you and I are in the grand scheme of creation. I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that I'm just one of 8 billion people on this planet today. And I'm just 1/5 millionth of the percentage of the planet today. Do you see how small we are? And yet, if we believe in Jesus, God gives us the right to be children of God. Isn't that staggering? God cares about little old you and little old me. Specks in the cosmos. And he loves us. And he cares about us. We can be God's children by believing in Jesus. Jesus, the true light, makes us children of God. Now, it just so happens that as I was writing this talk, and this particular section on Thursday morning, it was in our family is Adoption Day, the 7th of December. You see, 6 years ago today, 6 years ago on the 7th of December, David officially became part of the Taylor family. And for better or for worse, since that day, David has enjoyed all the blessings of being a Taylor. He also faces all the challenges of being a Taylor. Given we're not perfect parents, he gets the good and the bad. But you see, when we believe in Jesus, we become part of God's family. And we receive all the blessings that come with that. Yes, there are some temporary challenges in this life. If we believe in Jesus today, it won't all be easy this side of eternity. But we have a hope of eternal life with him forever. And you see, he is perfect. And so the challenges we face now will be temporary. When we believe in Jesus, we are headed to eternal life with him forever in a new creation, which is a creation where it is all light. There is no darkness, despair, depression, sadness. It's a place of joy, peace, and happiness, a place of perfection, a perfect relationship with God and a perfect relationship with one another, perfect health, perfect life. That is the light that Jesus, the true life, gives us. Jesus, the true light, makes us children of God. So this morning we have answered three questions. Who is the light? Jesus, the true light, who gives life. How should we respond to the light? Jesus, the true light, who is to be believed in. And what difference does the light make? Jesus, the true light, makes us children of God. So really, this Christmas time, just one question remains. Do you believe in Jesus? If you do, will you once again gaze in wonder at who he is? Will you treasure him in your hearts? You know, when the shepherds told Mary that Jesus would be the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Will we ponder in our hearts the things we have seen about Jesus in John's Gospel this morning? Let our Christmas be filled with the joy because Jesus, the true light, gives life. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you are yet to believe. See, I believe there's only two types of people. There's people who believe in Jesus and people who are yet to be believing in Jesus. So if you're yet to believe in Jesus, maybe you've yet to believe in him. Then you're still living in the dark if you've not received Jesus. Now, maybe your life is filled with fun and adventure. It could be busy or stressful, possibly boring and lonely. All those options are possible. But when you stop to think about it, it all seems to be a little meaningless, a little pointless. And you hunger for something more. You may even feel like you're stumbling in the dark. If that's you, come into the light. Receive Jesus. Accept him for who he is, the one who created you, the one who gives you physical life, and the one who can give you spiritual life, the one who can give you eternal life forever. It might be that something you've heard this morning has got you thinking, and you've got questions. Maybe this is something I need to look into. Chat to me or Amy or Drew or Emma or any number of people. Maybe if you've been invited by someone, talk to them, and if they get frightened and don't know what to say, they'll point you in the right direction. Someone would be happy to chat to you. But maybe as you've been listening this morning, you've gone, you know what? I see who Jesus is, and I need to believe in him. Don't let anything stop you. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Will you believe in Jesus? And if you're here this morning, that decision is either in front of you or it is behind you if you've believed already. Can I urge you, can I appeal to you, if you have not yet, then believe in Jesus. Jesus, the true light, who gives life and makes us children of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed a gracious, loving Father. We thank you that you sent your Son into the world of darkness, into a world that had rejected you, was rebelling against you, was sinning against you, and you sent your Son to bring light. And Lord, even though the light was rejected and Jesus was killed, he rose again to raise an eternal light that offers light to all who will believe in him. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might see Jesus. Work in our hearts that we might see him for who he truly is, believe in him, and live with you forever as your children, blessed by you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Well, we get to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ now in song. Let's stand and sing as we remind one another that Jesus is the light of the world.